Perkins head of the key, tries a three again. He hit it again. Perkins is feeling it. Nick Perkins, fourth triple of the second half. 70-62 Buffalo, and Toledo has called a timeout.
UB, I saw Joe Lenardi has him as a 7 seed right now in his latest bracketology. Also saw one that had Syracuse as an 8 seed and getting into the tournament.
I think it was Lenardi's. I know the one of the brackets I saw over the weekend had them in the same bracket as Michigan State.
Ooh, UB?
Yeah.
Very good.
That could be a potential second round issue in our home. We're going to talk to Nate in a moment. The Bulls are home tonight, and they'll take on Ohio. The Bulls are still, well, tied for the best record in the MAC with Bowling Green at 10-2. They are 22-3 overall. They do have 4 of their last 6 games at home, where, by the way, they're unbeaten, and they are tied for the 3rd longest home streak in the country. So, good things. We'll tell you it's a 7 o'clock game, and if you can't make it out to the arena, it is going to be heard on ESPN 1520. It is also on ESPN Plus, and we're going to go to the Western Hotline. You'll be Coach Nate Oates joining us here. Nate, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Do you have a Google alert when Joe Lenardi does the old bracketology so you can see your latest projected seed?
You know what? I different projections. So I actually showed our guys. I think one of the latest ones after that Kentucky-Tennessee game, they had I saw we were a 7 and Kentucky was a 2. So I took like 3 minutes of highlights of the Kentucky game and showed our guys the next morning. I'm like, as of right now, if you want to make the Sweet 16, this is who you're going to have to beat. So Kentucky was playing at a pretty high level that day.
Do you think it's interesting you talk about it so openly, like some coaches might say, oh, I don't pay attention to that stuff. But I don't know. Do you think that looking at that goal and looking at the bar you'd have to pass to get to the Sweet 16 kind of takes the – not just takes the pressure out of it, but it makes the guys more comfortable to talk about their goals as a team openly?
You know what? I think they know where they want to get. We made it past the first round last year, and everybody says they want to go further. So if we're going to have to go further, I mean, that's made it to the Sweet 16. If you're going to go to Sweet 16, you got to be one of the, at least on that one given weekend in March, you got to be one of the 16 best teams in the country. And right now we're not. You know, we're close, though. We can get there, but I also think it shows how hard it is to get to Sweet 16. Everybody talks about Sweet 16, you know, and our women did it last year. And it's not that easy. There's really good programs that haven't been to the Sweet 16 in years, if ever. So, I mean, it's hard to do. I think that was kind of my point to our guys. Like, we're having a great year. You know, we're 22-3. Like, nobody can take what we're doing away from you. We've been in the top 25 for all but 1 week of the season. But if you really want to make it to the next round of the tournament, this is who you're going to have to beat. So, yeah, we do keep an eye on it a little bit. I think if you pay too much attention to it, then it'll take away from what you're trying to do on a day-to-day basis. But I don't think it's stupid to pay attention to it a little bit.
Yeah,
Nate, I know earlier this season we talked to you about being the hunted, and I think it's interesting as you go around the MAC. I'm guessing you're like the top road draw. By the way, you go into Toledo, and the place is packed.
Yeah.
Kent State. They were loaded up for you guys. The fans were all pumped up. Northern Illinois stormed the court when they beat your guys. What's that experience been like for you and your players?
You know, they stormed the Northern and Bowling Green both. Hmm. I think it's good, though. Like I've told our guys before, though, I mean, you know, like when I talked to them about the Kentucky-Tennessee game, I said, look, Kentucky gets the opportunity to play the number one team in the country, Tennessee. Like we're not. Now we're getting everybody's best shot, so it's a lot better, you know, than getting their average shot, because at least we're playing against the best version of everything they've got. But we still don't have the luxury of playing against Tennessee on a given night. So we've got to do what we can with what we've got. And right now, I think it's the best thing for us to take everybody's best shot. Now, I think our guys. You know, I can't speak for them, but I hope, you know, after the talks I've had with them, I hope they appreciate the fact they're getting everybody's best shot. Now, we haven't had the greatest starts to games here lately, so I don't know you know, I told them they're going to have to figure that out on their own. I don't have an answer for that. Like, I think it shows some character that we've been able to come back from down 18 and down, we were down 17-4 against Toledo, but we got to do a much better job starting games out than we've been doing here lately.
You stole one of my questions, Nate. You know, Toledo, Central Michigan, and I think Kent State are games where you kind of got down early and were able to come back. And I was curious if there's any rhyme or reason to the first 6, 8, maybe 10 minutes where sometimes you're turning the ball over and shots aren't falling.
Yeah, I don't have the answer. If I had the answer, I'd fix it, and then we won't be doing it anymore. We've talked about it. We've tried to do different things. You know, the Central Michigan one was a little bit different. You know, CJ's shoulder was
right.
Messed up. He didn't think he could go. Perkins
was benched.
Played the first half.
Yep.
Carruthers had his foot deal, but like the Toledo one, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that was. And once you get down 17-4, it's, you know, you just got to figure out a way to climb your way back in. And I thought our guys did a pretty good job climbing their way back into that game and showing some character, especially, you know, for the last 30 minutes of that game, I thought we were pretty dominant, but first 10 minutes, we were awful.
Nate Oates with the Sierra Western Hotline. There's one guy I wanted to ask you about, and I don't know if we bring him up, and I feel like he doesn't get enough credit. You know, everybody knows about Nick. They know about CJ. They know about Jeremy. To me, Dante Carruthers, I don't know, how would you describe his importance to this team? And is it fair to say he's an unsung hero? Because I don't think he gets talked about a lot.
Yeah, he's definitely, crucial to what we're doing. He's probably a little more unsung than those other three guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you started saying, I'm going to bring somebody up, I didn't know who you were going to bring up because Montel's been
sure.
Pretty good for us too.
And
but
J-Bone.
Carruthers is, Carruthers was defensive player of the year 2 years ago. So everybody's known about his defense. I think it's his offense that's kind of surprising some people maybe. But if you go back, he led the entire state of New York in scoring his senior year in high school. You know, and he averaged 10 points a game at Midland as a freshman. And that's arguably the best junior college league in the country. So he's been able to score. I think taking the year, you know, he didn't play his sophomore year because he had the broken foot. And I think, you know, that ends up being about a year and a half off from basketball. I think that hurt him his sophomore year. He kind of messed with his head a little bit. And he was never a great shooter. And so people could kind of play off him. People were literally guarding him with their foreman. They were sitting there, foreman in the middle of the paint and guarding him when, like, his sophomore year. So he worked really hard, turning himself into a shooter. He had some injuries last year. I think this is the first year where he's been able to showcase the fact that he's put all his time in working on his shot, and he's been healthy for the majority of the year. And he's so good going downhill at the rim. And now that you got to honor his shot, yeah, he's a tough cover. And really, I mean, you guys are kind of sports junkies and know what you're talking about. But if you look, like, we've had Jeremy struggle a little bit. CJ's had some Jeremy's been a little off. Nick struggled. I mean, Dante's kind of carried us on the offensive end here for about 3 weeks. He's had 28, 21, 16. I forget. He's been scoring it really well here for about the last month. So he's been big to what we're doing here over the last month.
You just said that we know what we're talking about. If you could say that again a little
so
more.
So we could put it in an open?
Yeah, we could really use that.
It's like the movie review. You know, we're going to take the best clip out of what you said and use that.
I got to agree with what Nate said today. Really, really great stuff from the coach. So.
Hey, Nate, the last thing I want to ask you about, your home win streak. Tied for third longest in the country. Not to jinx it, but what kind of is it?
I don't even know what it is.
22, I believe. 22, going back to last season.
Tied for third. I know Houston's won.
Were tied for second with Tennessee, I thought. And I think Michigan maybe.
They got a couple more than us.
I think Michigan might be ahead of you.
I got you.
It's funny. You may have just answered my question. I want to know if you guys talk about it. Is it a point of pride? Are players talking about that, or no big deal?
That's one that we really haven't talked about.
Okay.
To be honest with you,
yeah.
I didn't know where it was or who was in front. I mean, we are trying to protect home court, and I think we've set ourselves up to have a great finish here. You know, we were 7-2 halfway through conference. A little disappointed. You know, guys, some, you know, people were talking, could you run the table? That's the other thing. I don't think people realize how hard conference play is. And you're talking about running the table in conference play. And these guys are so familiar with you. And you almost have to be, you got to be close to perfect for 18 straight games. Like, that's really hard to do in a good league. So once we got that out of the way, you know, we weren't going to do that. We're 7-2. You know, we talked about trying to close, but we've got six games left. We're two-thirds of the way through conference. We're tied with BG in first place, and we've got four of our last six at home. So we've set ourselves up to have a pretty good finish here. And really, it's in our hands. If we want to win the conference outright again, it's 100% in our hands. We just went out. We take care of business because we got BG at home the last game of the year. So I think that's more what we're talking about than, you know, now, obviously, the home winning streak will take care of itself if we do the other things. But it is nice, and we're selling games out. Shoot,
yep,
we're getting over 6,000 people at every game now. We're getting 6,000 people before the students even came back. So now the students are back, it's been, you know, it's been even better. So it's great to play in front of a crowd like that. When we first got here 6 years ago, it was nothing like that. So it's nice to see the program growing and the community embrace us. And We're going to try to keep winning at home.
Well, good luck tonight. Keep it going. And as always, Nate, thanks for giving us some time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Howard.